reason and hang up in 5 minutes and hurry back up.
No.
No.
We actually intentionally got really lost. Anyway.
I'm Jen Wong, of Discretion.
I'm Diana Nguyen, her partner. And we are co-authors and creators of Discretion, which is this kind of Asian interest blog that you probably have looked at by now. We are a year old, and we just celebrated with a massive birthday party. And it kind of all began, I guess, by us being two people that hated their jobs and really liked each other and found that there was a lot of stuff going on out there that we agreed about regarding our race, our identity, and what kind of offenders were on our hit list.
We started the website and we you know, we're girls and we like reading, pop culture blogs, and we were reading like Gawker and D-Listed and Go Fug Yourself, and but there wasn't anything out there that was from sort of our point of view. And so we just started thinking about this blog as sort of something where it was like the smoking gun, where the crime, we would put up a photo like a mugshot, and the crime was disgraceful behavior. And it wasn't very well thought out, and I don't think we had like a master plan for where this was going.
No, we just spent a week working on the list.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to put up a picture on Blogger. I was like, what's HTML code?
Was like, I have no idea, but I think I know how to put a picture.
And then in the last year, it has just kind of like grown on its own. We started writing for 23/6, which is the Huffington Post's political satire site. We have developed a web series for superdeluxe.com, which is Turner's online web channel. And they're like just funny shorts, 2 to 4 minutes.
We're actually going to be writing as featured columnists on the Huffington Post regular site when we get back from this tour, also.
Yeah, and Diana's current job that she likes is for Declare Yourself, which is a nonprofit. It's Norman Lear's company. It's a get out the vote campaign, basically. And so she produces a lot of PSAs and things like that. And we're starting a Asian American voter initiative called Generation
Vote.
Vote. Yeah.
So those are our big endeavors. And then there's a lot of writing involved outside of kind of the web sphere. We have a book or two that we're shopping around as well.
Yeah, we're working on a book proposal.
So kind of in a different model than most of our friends, because a lot of those people that you mentioned whose blogs we were reading are our friends and live in Los Angeles. Those people have kind of grown their blog by developing big readerships and then pulling advertising. And we always thought that that was the simple and kind of the only model. And what we found is that growing our blog has taken us into different branches. And so instead of using that way and pulling advertisers onto the site, we're actually ad-free and we make our money elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, we barely make any money, but yeah,
But
that's what
neither does any other blogger.
we do. So, yeah, that's where we are, sort of a year into it. I was wondering if you guys can ask us questions, and we can just, make this informal.
We're a small group. Let's just make it around here.
Yeah.
Gene, you were going to say something
No,
about
that wasn't.
advertising.
I was just wondering what are those other ways then of making money?
What are the other ways to make money?
Yeah.
Well, we're paid to develop this web series, and that kind of barely covers our production costs. And then, that's another way to sort of like avoid having a day job.
Right, because if that gets picked up, then essentially you've sold a web series. And most people that are doing that right now are branded small production companies and producers that are defecting from television. Obviously, you're not going to make any money off of a pilot, but you will off of a series. So that for in that in that respect, we're taking our blog brand and applying it to production and using the brand of the blog as like an industry's brand. We do everything kind of with this one perspective.
Yeah, and it's pretty different. I mean, like what we do on the blog is basically just like what's coming from ourselves and like our perspective on sort of a lot of different things. But, you know, like for 23/6, it's a political satire site. So, you know, they really want stuff about, you know, the election, politics, world news, and a little pop culture. And that readership is very specific. It's like the HuffPo readership. But then, like, you know, for Super Deluxe, they are an online offshoot of Adult Swim. So their whole demo is 18 to 24 males. So we did a show. The show that we're doing is kind of a spoof of an Access Hollywood or like Entertainment Tonight. It's kind of taking like the just like the freakishness of Hollywood and pushing it to the nth degree so that there are like plastic surgeons
on
children.
And it's kind of the horror and absurdity of it, which isn't that far off actually. But what it does is it points out all of the kind of disgraceful things that we observe in Hollywood culture on our blog.
Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, it's for like, that's more of a funny, light thing, and it's for a younger audience. It's predominantly male. Like, we made a tampon joke, and they're like,
ooh,
get the tampon out of there.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, and we've taken it and applied it to this, like, our book proposal. Our book comes from a place far more personal and much deeper, because the blog is made of small bites, and we have to take those ideas and flesh them out for the book, which is kind of a shift in thinking. But again, it's kind of maintaining the same perspective all the way through.
Yeah, the book proposal is more like part memoir, part sort of social ideas. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, to answer your question sort of the long way around, like, we're still figuring it out, because it's not that easy to monetize a blog unless you have like a million views a month and you're part of like a media conglomerate like Gawker Media. You know, we try to do Google ads for like 5 seconds, and because, you know, Google ads pulls from your content, it was like Asian nose surgery,
yeah,
and hot Japanese escorts, you know, it was all this like very unsavory stuff that we write about all the time. So we're like, okay,
we gotta pull that. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we thought about that, and then we're like, I don't think we can keep up with Japanese tranny escort dating service.
No. Like exotic subservient dates for you.
Yeah. Women with little feet.
Yeah.
And strong hands.
So that's why we've shifted away from those kinds of sponsored ads.
And it's kind of nice because we can kind of keep the blog just what we want, and we're not really writing for a specific audience. I mean, whoever finds us and likes us, great. But we're going to continue doing our thing. And then these other projects are sort of, you know, they're kind of derivations from the basic idea, but they're sort of more targeted and more focused.
Right. Like for 23/6, all of our stuff is humorous, funny material. And what we're going to do for Huffington Post is going to be hardly about these major punchlines. A lot of our launching point, just on the main page with them, is going to be about our ongoing feud with Michelle Malkin. And so that is a completely different tone from, you know, our very, you know, like our silly Hollywood slant series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the tipping point? How did you go from launching the blog
to
being right here,
like a small business? Other offers, yeah.
Well,
there have been a few tipping points.
Yeah, I mean, when we first started, we only published it for each other. We didn't really intend to even share it with anyone beyond our friends, because neither of us, we knew about blogs, but neither of us really had ever been able to conceive of a blog, and it was really foreign as an idea.
It seemed like a lot of work.
It seemed like a ton of work.
Yeah, it just seemed like, well, I don't know if I can write daily about something that is, like, personal and funny and interesting. And
right.
I mean, when we started it, it was like, oh, well, I think I'll post once every 3 days. Yeah.
And then 2 days later, you can do one. And to that end, the things that we read, not one of them kind of encapsulated every single element that we liked in blogs. And some of them, it's all about knowing the author and the person and hearing those personal stories. And some of them, it's about these breaking news. And some of it's like simple commentary on things you care about, politics, news, sports, celebrity. But we had yet to see one that was kind of a mishmash of all of those. And I don't know if we really knew that it was possible until we started doing it, because it didn't seem like it would make sense. It feels so regulated because it is so regular.
Yeah, and I think there are just different points where it just got bigger than we had sort of anticipated. Like 5 weeks into doing the blog, a friend of mine who is a nonfiction writer showed it to her book agent. And I got my MFA from Columbia in creative writing, and I tried to write a book for about 6 years. And just wasn't really working, and I'd kind of given up on that. And then like 5 weeks into this thing, you know, the agent calls us and is like, have you guys ever thought about writing a book? And I was like, no, that sounds great. What's that like? She doesn't need to hear my dark history. And then, so she was like really psyched about what we were doing. And she's like, you know, we don't see this perspective, you know, kind of in the mainstream market. So why don't you guys start writing a book proposal? So we're like, okay. So we started doing that. And then, like, it was really viral, like, at first, the way we approached marketing it, because I don't think we had any sense of where it was going. So we, like, you know, had a MySpace page, befriended tons of people, befriended people who were, you know, like, you know, we were really inspired by Margaret Cho and the Kims of Comedy, Dave Chappelle. And so we were just, like, kind of getting these people who were, like, entertainers, but who are kind of hitting on these social ideas. And then it was like just kind of, you know, word of mouth, like through the summer and like people posting on forums on the internet, and then we get a bunch of hits. And then I think when we started doing 23/6 for the Huffington Post, that's when we sort of reached a national audience, and we were, you know, reaching beyond sort of like our demo, and, you know, it was a wide age range, a little older, I'd say. And that kind of just, that push, that was a big push for us. And
and also I think tapping into this pre-existing Asian American blogger community, which when we started the blog, we didn't know much about, but we discovered as we were writing about topics and exploring topics and doing all this research, it's a very interconnected community. And, you know, we were made even more aware of that this weekend because we were on a panel with most of them, and they've known each other for years. So once some of the granddaddies of that group softened to us and started posting about us and started linking us in and bringing us into that network, I think that also tipped us into that community and pulled us into that area.
Yeah, and then another big bump that we had, Diana mentioned, like this... this bitch fight we're having with Michelle Malkin. You know, Michelle Malkin, the conservative commentator, you know, she's Filipina.
Top 10 blog.
Yeah, in the universe. And, you know, we don't write about her that much because we just think she's kind of like a yippy dog. But we did end up writing about her. We have like different columns, different categories for the week, and one of the big ones obviously is Discretion of the Week. And so usually a lot of our posts are very sort of like light and
glib,
and then usually Discretion of the Week is more serious, although sometimes it's like Naomi Campbell, you know, for spitting on somebody.
Right.
She was Discretion of the Week, but we made Michelle Malkin Discretion of the Week.
Right. Like, you can be like, we made Discretion of the Week China before.
Yeah, we've gone big, we've gone small.
Right.
So we made her Discretion of the Week, and it was reposted on 23/6. She reads 23/6 because, you know, She thinks obsessed with herself.
Yeah, basically.
And then she made our discretion word of the day, which is like one thing she did. And she just posted discretion, and that was a link to our site. And then we got like thousands of hits in 10 minutes and thousands of emails.
Really, really articulate emails.
Yeah, like, you're a dumbass. And when you fight with Michelle, you lose. And then my favorite one was, why do you hate this country so much? If you hate it, why don't you leave?
I work hard. I can't believe that I've fought so hard to keep
in my 22
like
years. I'm like a chicken hawk who preys on defenseless doves. And the email address was like KY Cavalry.
Yeah.
CSA.
Cavalry.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we got a lot of hate mail, and that kind of raised our profile, and
which was exciting because, you know, right at that moment was when we were talking to John D'Amato, who started Crooks and Liars, and Ariana, and they were all over it because they were just like, no one, Michelle Malkin is such a big idea, and many people hate her for her, whatever, for her blog. She's a terrible writer. But no one was able to take her on the way we could because our perspective was so unique.
Well, a lot of people who criticize her, like, are white. And so she always does the, like, you know, oh, you're racist and sexist. And, you know,
never
before. It's harder to say that with us.
Yeah. I mean, she can say it.
I mean, she can say it. But so that, yeah, there were these little sort of things along the way. And then there are these, like, unexpected, you know, for the bloggers here, like they're these unexpected posts that just have traction, whether it's on Dig or Technorati.
BuzzFeed.
We use BuzzFeed a lot to submit our stuff. And, you know, we were talking about this recently. One post that just kind of sent us, like, the next day we were getting, like, hits from, like, Riyadh and Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. And it was the post about Maria Sharapova's crotch. And basically, you know, a Japanese ad agency, the photographer had taken upskirt photos of her while she was
filming her commercial.
Yeah, and I mean, she was in those little tennis shorts, so it wasn't like, but apparently a lot of people are obsessed with Maria Sharapova's crotch. So Diana did a nothing sort of like
just like
toss
a
off
nothing
post.
Post, but we to this day, like, if we're checking our site meter, we'll see what entry, like what referral pages brought people in, and 30% every day is Maria Sharapova's crotch.
People just love Maria Sharapova's
crotch.
She's
a very popular crotch.
Yeah, so things like that happened, and we just had no idea. Or you posted also about, like, this horrible movie, this vampire movie that was like a lesbian vampire movie
that Lucy Liu was in with Carla Gugino.
Yeah, that we get hits from that every day too. And again, it was just like, this is so silly, you know? So, yeah, I mean, you can't quite predict what's going to hit, and it's just, the blogosphere is just so weird, mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah, but crotch and lesbian vampires do very well.
Yeah, lesbian crotch.
Yes. So the trick is, to answer your question, the trick is to tag everything with lesbian vampire crotch. And before you know it, ubiquity.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I think we should just add some.
Yeah, Bernie Mac. Center lesbian vampire.
The right tags.
Yeah. Yeah. A special session on
that. Oh, sure. And we also get hits. I mean, because I don't know how familiar you are with the site, but we're not a breaking news source, and we aren't just an autobiographical thing. We're filtering stuff that's kind of coming through the pipe. And so sometimes we'll tap into stuff that's just really active on the web as it is. You know, when you were writing about Jessica Simpson and the Dallas Cowboys,
yeah,
that unfortunate time, we had a big spike because that was just, it was being milled about so much that it kept coming up in people's Google searches. It's what people were talking about. Early on when we started the blog, every time we would write about Sanjaya Malakar, I mean,
American
Idol, our hits were through the roof.
Yeah.
So it's also about kind of knowing what everyone else is going to be tapping about.
So what do you look at to determine that? Do you have particular sources that you are interested blogs that you go to? Or?
Oh, I'm sorry. What? I think
kind of
I
the threads that you're picking up or the things that you're writing about.
Yeah.
Well, we consume a lot. I think that's the thing.
News junkies.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, we used to be avid blog readers and news readers and all of that. And now it's very different because of how active it needs to be, that you need, that every time you consume more information, you're trying to do it with a watchful eye. Like, is this something that will apply to me? Is this something that I will eventually want to spin? And so it makes your web intake very, like, focused. Like, I look like this when I'm looking at the material.
Are you looking in particular places? Do you find that you go back to the same kind of commentators or bloggers? Or?
I think we read a lot. I mean, in terms of, like, our intake, I think we read a lot of just, like, the major news sources, from the New York Times to MSNBC, CNN. Unfortunately, I read Michelle Malkin's blog a lot.
I read a lot of celebrity blogs.
Yeah, so do I. But we've both found that we read a lot less now that we're blogging, because it is kind of a 24/7 job. And even though we're not trying to break news and be on the 24-hour news cycle, we feel like we're more on the analysis, cultural criticism end.
Right.
It's just each of us has like 50 Google alerts for, you know, everything from like right. China to Asian to, I have a Google alert for disgrace and shame, and it's always pretty fun.
Elaine Chao, never fun.
No, yeah.
My Elaine Chao alert is so boring.
Oh, she's a drag.
And we also get a ton of tips now, because the more popular we get, the more people send us story ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that helps a lot.
It does. And you find, like, there are just certain things that, like, we'll get 5 of the same tips in one day. And so it's like, oh, I guess this is in the zeitgeist and maybe we should write about it,
right.
You know?
And it'll be like that, too, because it's not always just the news item itself. I'm thinking about, like, when you were writing about China Hysteria, where after... by just existing and kind of taking in and being an information consumer, you start to see certain trends. And maybe you want to talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was noticing, like, during the reporting of, like, all the recalls of you know, especially toys, the Mattel recall from China, like, a lot of the reporting of, you know, these major respected news outlets, it was so focused on, oh, my God, everything coming out of China is unsafe. And, you know, the Mattel recall, it turned out to be a design flaw. And so all these, you know, millions of toys were recalled. They were produced in China, but they were designed here. And so I called it China Hysteria because it's like, you know, fear. It was like a kind of xenophobia. And so I was just looking at really the patterns in reporting and just like what the headlines were. You know, it's like they would bury the real sort of story, which was like, there was a design flaw from the company here, but it's like, oh my God, China, unsafe, toxic, you know, what, 13 million toys or whatever. So sometimes, yeah, we kind of just look at the way, not only do we filter stuff, we also look at the way that things are being filtered.
And sometimes we're just trying to be funny.
Yeah, I mean, we're very much, you know, we were just on this panel at NYU where it was a lot of people considering themselves activists and pioneers and leaders. Somebody asked us, you know, are you the emerging leader of the 21st century? And I was like, no.
And she was like, I don't like to think of ourselves as leaders. More like pioneers.
That wasn't me. That was someone else.
We were like, we just want to be big sibs, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're psyched, but we're totally accidental activists just because there aren't that many Asian American voices in media. So when you just open your mouth, whatever you talk about, if it's highly personal or it's highly trivial, that becomes political.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix of things.
Yeah.
Right. Or to be talking about football, or to be, I mean, opening our mouths. We talk about everything from, like, the deepest, darkest moments of our family lives to, you know, fat pictures of Mariah Carey. It runs the gamut, but we've kind of built these really interesting filters of shame, of disgrace, of our our hard-ass Asian parenting, and we've learned to kind of like apply that to American and world culture.
Mm-hmm. So I hate to cut this conversation short, but there is a meeting in here at 3, so
yes,
no problem.
About that,
but we'll hang out if you guys want to like ask us any questions and come talk to us. But thank you so much for coming.
Can we move to the kitchen or something?